In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In today's gospel, we see what we think is a calling of the apostles, particularly Andrew and Peter. And yet, this passage is something that's often come into conflict with what it tells us about the calling of these same apostles in the Gospel of John. Now, the church has always said that the Gospel of John, that is the calling of Andrew, who we call the first called, and Peter. Because also at that time, Nathanael and Philip were called as well. But yet, in the Gospel of Matthew today, we hear about Andrew and Peter, but also James and John, the son of Zebedee. And we might think that this is a conflict of some kind. In fact, many scholars have come at us in various different ways with this sort of thing and said, well, this just shows you the unreliability of the Gospels, that they're so conflicted, etc., etc., not realizing that if the words and acts of Jesus were to be recorded, that not all the books in the world could contain them. And so we go to the ever-reliable St. John Chrysostom, who speaks specifically about this Gospel today. And he says, well, basically, if he was speaking as me today, he would say, what is your problem? There is no problem here at all. Because obviously, that's his exact word, that this gospel today in Matthew is referring to a second calling. And he demonstrates that by the fact that Andrew and Peter both leap up suddenly, immediately, and follow him. Come, the Lord says, and I will make you fishers of men. Well, Andrew and Peter had already been introduced to the Lord. The Lord had not brought them out of their occupation of fishing at this point. And so this gospel today, something else is happening. And so immediately they jump up and they go and they follow the Lord. And after, in this short gospel, it says that he went to all the towns and villages, healing the sick everywhere that he went. So it's very important for us to understand what the nature of calling really is, because we all deal with it in our lives. In the case of Andrew and Peter, there was an introduction to the Lord, something that stirred them greatly, but then now the Lord is taking them further on into something a lot deeper, something that is more meaningful. Step by step, he advances them along this path of fulfilling his will for them. Today, of course, we celebrate the Sunday of all saints who have shone forth in the North American land. Now, not all of the Antiochian churches even celebrate this, because it was originally given to us by the Orthodox Church in America, but because they actually glorified an Antiochian saint, Raphael of Brooklyn, that many of the churches in the Antiochian Archdiocese do celebrate this. And in fact, there are churches in the Antiochian Archdiocese that are named for All Saints of America. And the saints today show us also that tie back into the gospel that we just heard about our calling, about how things move along at different paces, bringing us to a point when we can actually fulfill that which God wants for us. None of these saints, except for maybe one, possibly two, were from America. They were all born and bred somewhere else, grew up in the light of Orthodoxy in another country, but for various reasons ended up coming over here. We heard in the Synaxarion today during Orthros about how the original company came in the 1700s from Russia, including among them Juvenale, who was to become the proto-martyr of America because he was killed by natives, Herman of Alaska, who has become a great, great ascetic, and many consider him to be the patron saint of all of North America, and many others at that time that followed. St. Innocent of Alaska, for instance, who did not know St. Herman, But he came over here and was a brilliant man. I have to call him the Jefferson of Orthodoxy. He was into so many different things. He made clocks. He did all kinds of things. And all of these people were trying to enlighten the natives up in Alaska at that time, particularly the Aleutians, who were actually the ones who killed St. Juvenali. We're not exactly sure what the reason was. Many believe, though, that he was preaching a single marriage, and the Aleutians were practicing polygamy at that time. And so they waylaid him when he was on one of his journeys and slaughtered him there. There are other saints that have come over here trying to fulfill their own calling to preach the gospel in this country. Saint Tikhon, for instance, who would become Archbishop of North America in New York, is the one that built Saint Nicholas Cathedral here in New York, was a man who came over after a decent career as bishop in Russia, but felt the need to follow the calling that the Holy Synod gave him to preach the gospel over here to the American people. St. Tikhon said many things that today a lot of people get a little angry about. For instance, that all the clergy should wear collars because that's what the Americans would recognize as being priestly. He thought that the calendar should be changed over here. So did St. Raphael, actually. And he really established by his many missionary journeys and those of St. Raphael as well, the Orthodox chronima here in America. St. Tikhon, of course, did not know at the time that he was going to be called back to Russia, that he would become the first patriarch in 450 years in Russia. Many people think, well, wait a minute, didn't Russia have a patriarchate? Well, yes, they did, but Peter the Great axed it. He completely scratched it in his modernization program. He set up a Lutheran-style synod with what they called an Oberprokurator, who would control the things in Russia. This had 450 years without a patriarch. And then Tikhon rises to the occasion and becomes the first patriarch at all that time and would eventually die in Russia. There were many others who were trying to anticipate what their calling could possibly be. Father Hotovitsky, Father John Kochurov came over here and taught at the seminary in the Midwest, what would become the first St. Vladimir Seminary. And you see pictures of him when he was over here, and he looks like an Anglican clergyman. He's got a round collar and no beard whatsoever. And some have criticized him because of this, but this same man would go back to Russia eventually to fulfill his ultimate calling as being the first martyr of the Russian Revolution, who was shot by the Bolsheviks. Of course, we have people like St. John Maximovich, who was basically booted out of his own homeland during the Russian Revolution, who ends up in Harbin, China. And then he goes to Paris, where he becomes beloved by the Europeans there, as he used to walk barefoot across the cobble streets in Paris. And they loved him because he helped everyone. He would go to anyone, Muslims, non-Christians, you name it, he would not hesitate to help them, to even pray for them. And finally, St. John ends up here in San Francisco, where his relics are today, as he is buried there. And I often think that his relics being in that city are the only thing which caused the walls of that city to come crumbling down, because St. John is giving it the grace of the Holy Spirit. In fact, all of these saints that came to America who sought their true calling, who took many years to try and ascertain what it is God wanted them to do, ended up here for various reasons. I mentioned Father John Kochurov. Well, he was born in Russia, of course, but he was not a clergyman. He came over here and he found his establishment as a priest here in this country, which is what was going to lead him to have the strength to endure martyrdom in Russia. There are other saints as well, two Serbian saints that have gathered in this country, especially St. Nikolai Velimirovich, who was at the first monastery in North America, which is St. Tikhon's in South Canaan, Pennsylvania, where he ended up his life and wrote many, many wonderful, wonderful works, including a book called The Prologue, which is basically an abbreviated synaxarian. So many of these saints came here and exhaled the breath of the Holy Spirit across this land. And we look about it, about today, and we think, oh my goodness, you know, can anything good come out of America? But something already has. Because that's why we don't give up on the country where Orthodoxy has blossomed. Because many of these people that came over here initially became saints after they were here, even though they started in other countries. They fulfilled their calling. They were looking to be fulfilled in Christ our God, and it happened in this country. It's very important for us to be aware of this great heritage of these astonishing saints. And there's others that are in the wings even as we speak, that we're probably going to see some that were actually born here that will become saints in the future, God willing, and according to what His will is. For us to look at all of these saints and see the things that they did and try and fulfill our own destinies here in this land as Orthodox Christians, we can take comfort from the fact that they struggled just like we do. St. Tikhon himself said, my goodness, we need to come to this land in this horrible age, he said, of so much degradation of the human person and atheism everywhere. And he was speaking about here, and he was prophetic because he was going to find it when he went back to Russia as well. So even back then, at the turn of the 19th and 20th centuries, this man is talking about the importance of preaching this gospel, of planting seeds that will grow up so that holiness indeed can sprout forth here in this land. All of us feel this need to fulfill the calling of God. Every single one of us has to see what this is in our own lives and try and realize it as best we can. And it's getting harder and harder as we go along. There are so many distractions, so many things pulling us away from faith in God, so many things that pull us away even from prayer. But perhaps our calling should start with the simple things. Perhaps your calling is to start coming to more church services. I can tell you that's what it is for sure. Perhaps your calling is to be on time at church services. That one I am certain about. And there's many other things that we can incorporate into our lives to make us more godly and Christ-like, even in small, very often tiny ways. Just showing a smile to someone who needs it. Being cheerful. Loving God and loving all people as best we can. I hope everyone, because I was talking to Leah about this yesterday, I hope everyone sees the YouTube video of Father Seraphim Aldea of Mull Monastery in Scotland. That he did about the godly and ungodly ways that we could fight against the devil. There is a godly and an ungodly way, and the temptation is always to pick the ungodly way, to return an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, to come back at somebody who is arguing with us or mad at us in the same spirit. And that's not the way to do it. Even among Christians, even among Orthodox Christians, there is division because of certain things that are happening in the world today. And so we end up just enervated, aggravated against one another. And it's a terrible thing. It's a thing that's caused by the devil. Nothing else. Nothing else. We have to take that love of Christ that is given to us and return it in full to everyone that we see around us. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter. We are called to love our enemies. Our enemies. Now, think about that for a minute. You may have someone at work that you don't like. They're bugging you. They're not your enemy. You may not like them. You may not think, you know, personalities are merging here or something. But they're not your enemy. Enemies are those who are truly coming after you, who are truly wanting to destroy you. And yet the Lord says, We have to love them. Love them. So if you can love your enemies, you will definitely have to love everyone else that falls in a lesser category under that big umbrella. This is what the saints of America did. This is what the apostles did. This is what the Lord has taught all of us to do. And so, if we want the faith to spread, the faith has to be here first. If we want things to get better right now in a country that is really reeling from so many things, it's got to come from in here. It can't come just from the voting booth. It can't come from an argument on one of the idiotic social media apps that are out there. It can't come from any of that. It has to start here. You have to look for God in here because that's where He is. And if you find Him there and you agree with Him on so many things and cultivate that spirit that He gives you, then, as St. Seraphim of Sarov said, thousands around you will be saved. And that includes things in our country as well. The country itself is what God has given all of us. This is where we have been placed. This is not by accident. It's not an accident of birth. No, we have been placed here, specifically at this time, by the will of God. And He would not have done it if He thought that there was nothing worth saving, nothing worth renewing, nobody worth preaching to, nobody worth coming to the Orthodox faith. We have to remember this. We are here for a reason. And to fulfill our calling, we have to look to Christ, who is the only solution for any of the problems that are happening around us, and definitely the only way that we can find into the kingdom of heaven. So by the prayers of all the saints who have shone forth in the North American land, may we all arrive at our Lord's heavenly kingdom. Amen.